got stuff to talk about. The ownership transfer to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry doesn't look like it's going to happen now, but John's going to fill us in on exactly what is going on, what the future looks like, and how we got to this point. As you know, this is the John Krasinski Show. This is our Timberwolves and NBA show at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or any of our shows is to subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free, it's easy, and it helps us out. We do appreciate it. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We're going to tell you about a trip John is taking with Timberwolves fans or anybody else who wants to go to Spain through DefineDestinations.com. DefineDestinations.com, look for Taste of Spain. We also want to thank our longtime sponsor, TSR Injury Law, 612 TSR Time, Head Flyer Brewing, who hosts so many of our live shows, and Shepherd Good and Lamb Chops clothing line. Promo code for them is JohnK20, J-O-N-K-20. And thanks to our longtime producer, Brandon Morton, as well. All right, John, I'm just going to ask the most open-ended possible questions and let you fill in all the blanks. Let's start with, how did we get to this point?
Yeah, so, you know, it's been quite a dramatic turn over the last week. You know, when you think back to 2021, which is when this deal was consummated first, what we heard from Glenn Taylor, what we heard from Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry was that they quickly established a real sense of trust. Glenn Taylor had spent a decade looking for a successor for the Timberwolves and Lynx and had tons of conversations with several groups and never could find the right feeling and the group willing to meet his parameters until Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez came along. They clicked very well early, despite some vast differences in personality and upbringing and all of those things. And it seemed like something that Glenn Taylor was very much in favor of. Well, over the course of this partnership, and I think in particular in the last couple of months, there has been a clear divide in that relationship. I think Glenn Taylor grew increasingly skeptical that Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez were going to be able to, you know, close this deal, find the money, do everything that they needed to do to make this happen. And I think Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez grew increasingly frustrated with Glenn Taylor, who was giving interviews over the past couple of months and expressing that skepticism publicly, and they didn't like that. And so there was a division that really developed here in the last 6 to 8 weeks that certainly didn't help things. All come to Thursday, and Glenn Taylor issues a statement from the team that says that Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez have missed several obligations within this contract, and that now he considers their option to buy the final 40% that would have given them majority control of the franchise have expired. And so he will move forward as the owner of the team. Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez vehemently dispute that. They say that they have met all the requirements and they are just awaiting league approval. So quickly, this has gone from a very solid relationship to one that is in tatters. And I think the fight is only just beginning here and is probably going to take quite a while to sort out.
Do you think Alex and Mark have a strong case?
Well, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a contractual attorney at all. But what I can say, and I've spoken both to Glenn Taylor on the record and to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry on the record about this. And so both sides feel very strong in their positions. And there is language in this contract that says if all that Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez are waiting for is league approval to close the deal, they are entitled to a 90-day extension to let the league sort through all of it and finish everything up. They believe that and I have seen the contract, that language is in the contract. That said, Glenn Taylor's interpretation of the contract is that if Mark and Alex have not fulfilled all of their obligations step by step through the contract to get to the closing date with everything in order, including league approval, including all of their money in place, including filing specific documents that need to be filed, if they don't do that, that means that they didn't close, and that means the deal has expired, and that means that there is no extension to be granted here. And so it really is going to come down to a neutral mediator, which is what the contract calls for, mediation, arbitration, in this case, to resolve this dispute. And a neutral third party is going to have to look at the argument that Mark and Alex are going to make, look at the argument that Glenn is going to make, and say to them that, you know, and make a ruling one way or the other. I honestly don't know which way it's going to go. I don't think it is absolutely 1,000% sure that Glenn Taylor is going to win this, but he clearly believes in it. And I don't think it's 1,000% sure that Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez are going to win this, though they clearly believe in their side. So that's wishy-washy, but I think that's just the state of the situation right now. I think it's going to be a very interesting case, and I have a hard time handicapping it.
Do you believe that Mark and Alex have the necessary money, or do you think that's been a problem for them?
So I asked Mark Lori that exact question, Jim, because we know that over the last 3 years that there have been persistent whispers and rumors that these guys just do not have the money, that they cannot raise enough to get to the over the finish line. And then even if they did, they wouldn't have enough money to run the team afterward, keep the lights on, pay the luxury tax, go get an arena, all of those things. Mark Lori said to me on the record that he said, I'm in the best shape financially that I've ever been in. He said that he has hundreds of millions of dollars in liquid capital ready to invest in the team, and that everything is on very solid ground. This is just him saying it. I can't see his books. I don't know, but this is what he is saying. He and Alex Rodriguez are both saying that they have the money. I do believe that Glenn Taylor has very serious concerns about their ability to buy the team and to keep the team going. Again, because I don't have access to their financial records, I don't know who is telling the truth here, but I can tell you that Lori and Rodriguez say that they have the money. And if it ever gets through this arbitration and goes to the league approval process, that's when we would find out for sure, when the league can review everything and make a ruling one way or the other.
The New York Post ran a piece that I found to be very strange and in some ways amateurish, but it does have some tidbits in there that might be true or might be revealing. Did you read it, and what did you think of it?
I read it. I found it interesting. I mean, certainly there are very real details presented in there that are presented as facts that I'm not necessarily sure are facts. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at the depiction that Mark Lori has essentially checked out on this final 40% and had let Alex Rodriguez really just run that show and wasn't really interested in it right now, I think that's false. And I don't think that, you know, Lori, I asked Mark Lori about that. That report specifically, he did say that Alex Rodriguez has been in charge of this final 40% of raising the money for it, of kind of spearheading it. But Mark Lori said that he has been with Alex every step of the way, that he remains super involved in the situation. And he has been talking to Alex every day about it, but that he trusts Alex's ability to find the right partners, to get the money in place, and to get it over the finish line. That said, they did have a significant change in their financing very late in the game here. At the end, in the middle of March, one of their principal investors, Carlyle Group, had to pull out and take its $300 million with them because they weren't on the same page with the NBA in terms of league approval. And so that changed things dramatically. And Alex Rodriguez pivoted quickly to get another private equity firm to kind of fill in the gap. But I do think that that does show that this was a process that was playing out over the long haul and really was going right up to the deadline. And so when you take that important detail into place, I do think that in a perfect world, they would have had everything all lined up and ironclad in December and then just could go through the legal approval process before that March 27th deadline, get everything stamped, sealed, and approved, and then they would have the team. That did not happen. And so I think that threw a big wrench into the operation and also gave Glenn Taylor some real pause about, hey, like, can we really trust where this money is coming from if you're changing at the last minute and things of that nature? And so that has been a big sticking point from the two sides so far in this process.
This is not going to be one of our general shows. We're going to stick to the ownership topic. We're going to keep it fairly tight. John's in Denver, about to head to the arena. So let us take care of our business. We'll come back and talk more about Glenn's mindset and willingness and ability to keep owning the team and where that might take the franchise. At first, though, we do want to thank Aquarius Home Services. We're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services studios. John, tell us about the Defined Destinations tour.
DefinedDestinations.com. Go there. Look for the Taste of Spain tour. It is going to be a fantastic trip, August 22nd through August 29th. I will be going. My wife, Gretchen, will be going. We would love for all of you to come with us. We are going to Madrid and Barcelona for that week, two of the most exotic cities in the world. We have four-star hotels in the hearts of both cities. We have tour guides that can help us find the best museums, the best sites to see. We're going to have wine sangria tours. We're going to have food tours. We're going to have meals together, spend some time together. We'll talk some sports. Maybe we'll knock on Ricky Rubio's door, do so all sorts of really fun stuff that way. We're also going to have plenty of time individually to go our own ways, to explore and branch out and have private time. So bring your friends, bring your family, bring coworkers, anybody like that. If you want to hang out and see an area of the world I have never been in, but you know, the great thing about Defined Destinations is they set us up perfectly, exactly where we want to be, give us the right suggestions, make sure that we're in the right places and seeing the right things and eating the right food and just really experiencing the culture like no other. And so again, August 22nd through 29th, DefinedDestinations.com. For a Taste of Spain with John Krasinski. It's going to be an unforgettable trip.
I think that Steve Terry should arbitrate this this dispute between owner and potential owner because we trust Steve Terry and he's a big Timberwolves fan. He's probably having just a great year watching this team. Just a reminder, if you're ever injured, call 612-TSR-TIME. It's that simple. 612-TSR-TIME. If they can't take your case, they'll point you in the right direction. They help people all the time. If they do take your case, they won't charge you unless they win. That's how confident they are that they will win. And they've built an empire winning cases like that. So just remember, 612-TSR-TIME. And if you see Steve Terry at the Timberwolves game, say hello. He's a great guy and you'll enjoy your conversation. All right. Head Flyer Brewing, John, what's new there?
Head Flyer Brewing, Northeast Minneapolis, right on Hennepin Avenue. You've been hearing about it on this show for a long time. Right now it's March Madness season. Right now it's playoff season. And that means it's crunch time season. We've just brought out crunch time again for a second run. It's a citrus wheat ale, super refreshing, perfect for sitting on a patio, perfect for sitting at the tap room, which is an excellent tap room at Head Flyer, and watching games on TV, hanging out with your friends. And guess what? If you can't make it in to Head Flyer Brewing to grab some crunch time, you know what you can do? You can go to your local liquor stores. You can go to Total Wine in the metro area. Go to Certix. Go to Princeton's Liquors in Maple Grove. You can go all over the place. Look at Head Flyer Brewing on Twitter, on social media. They will give you a list of everywhere you can go for it. You can pick up a 4-pack or an 8-pack or a 12-pack of Crunch Time beer and enjoy it. It's my collaboration with Head Flyer. I'm very proud of it. It tastes great. And I just want you to enjoy some with me as well. With all of this Timberwolves stuff going on, it's a good time for a beer. So grab yourself a Crunch Time from Head Flyer Brewing. You won't be disappointed.
All right. And also to wrap this up, tell us about Shepherd Goods and Lamb Chops clothing line.
Go to sglambchops.com. for the some of the coolest, most stylish, most comfortable sweatpants, shorts, hoodies, all sorts of great collaborations that they've going on at Headfly, or excuse me, at sglambchops.com. Jordan McLaughlin was recently on the Timberwolves social media, on kind of the walk into the arena with an unbelievably cool Lamb Chops Letterman's jacket. They have great stuff. Jordan Dye, Craig McCall, they sit courtside at Wolves games. Support the people that support this podcast and that support the Timberwolves by getting your stuff at lambchops.com. A reminder, JONK20 for 20% off anything that you want at sglambchops.com. And at the end of this show, I will read off a Twitter question, and the winner of whose question is received does get a free pair of shorts from Lamb Chops. They are my favorite shorts that I've ever worn, these Lamb Chops shorts. So you'll want to tune in for that. But again, sglambchops.com, JONK20 for 20% off there.
Excellent. All right. I asked you last podcast if Glenn was having any buyer's remorse, either because prices for NBA franchises have skyrocketed or because he has a winning team, a sustainable winning team, maybe for the first time ever. Do you think either of those factors contributed to his decision to say that the sale is not going to happen?
Well, I will say that this, Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez, in my conversation with them directly, and then certainly in a statement that they issued on Thursday, did say that this is a case of Glenn Taylor having seller's remorse, wanting to kind of back out of the deal because the team has skyrocketed in value. Remember, the valuation of the franchises when Lori and Rodriguez came aboard was $1.5 billion. If you talk to anyone around the NBA, he can get well north of $2.5 billion, probably $3 billion for this team, at least in evaluation right now. And they are much more successful. They are going to the playoffs for the third season in a row. They are playing in Denver tonight. And if they win, they will be in first place in the Western Conference. And so certainly that is a line of attack that Lori and Rodriguez are going against Glenn Taylor in this. Do I think that he is enjoying himself with this team? I absolutely do. I think with Tim Connelly and Chris Finch, he has the most stable leadership group underneath him in his tenure here. I think that he gets along well with them. I think he really enjoys seeing this team come of age the way that it has. I am sure that he is absolutely looking at the valuation of this team skyrocketing and thinking that, if he retains control, that will be much better for him financially going forward, also much better for his limited partners financially going forward. He said as much on Chad Hartman the other day, saying that he does have a responsibility to his limited partners to get the best deal possible, and this would allow him to do that. So long story longer, Glenn Taylor has told me that he does not plan to resell the team right now. Now, that doesn't plan to put it back on the market. He wants to keep running this team. He says, I think we've built it up nicely to a good place, and I want to continue running it. So I don't think he's going to put it back on the market, assuming he prevails in this situation. But really his stance to me, Jim, and to others publicly has been, hey, even if he is having seller's remorse, even if that is the case where he thinks that he can get a better deal, if Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lori had fulfilled all their obligations and done everything to the letter of the agreement and closed on March 27th, there's nothing that Glenn Taylor could do to stop that. And that he said, this is not personal. This is a business deal. They did not abide by the terms of the agreement. And so I have the right to say it's expired and hold on to the asset. Now, Mark and Alex disagree. They say that they have abided by the terms of the agreement, that Glenn Taylor is acting in bad faith here, but we'll find out who's the side they're on. But basically, Glenn is saying if they had closed the deal on March 27th, then there's nothing I could do, even if I did have seller's remorse. So that's the way to answer that in terms of, yeah, I do think he looks at all that stuff. It all factors in. But the only reason he thinks he is in any position to change things right now is because he views Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez as not fulfilling their end of the bargain here, and so he can call it off.
What else can you tell us about your conversation with Alex and Mark?
Well, what I can tell you is just the tenor of their emotion. They're incredibly upset, obviously. And so this has become a personal battle for them. They told me that they are going to fight this tooth and nail for as long as it takes. Alex Rodriguez said, if it takes 5 years, 10 years, whatever, that's what we're going to do. They do feel like they have been wronged by Glenn Taylor. They feel like Glenn Taylor has pulled the rug out from under them. And they believe that they are legally in the right way and that they are going to prevail in this. But just certainly the emotion in their voice, the sharpness of their quotes, of their statements, it tells me that, you know, this is not going to be an amicable negotiation over a dispute in a contract. This is going to get ugly. This is going to get nasty. And it is only just beginning right now for Glenn Taylor or for this process. They are going to go all the way through. And I think you're going to see probably more back and forth throughout this. And it's going to get really ugly. And it already is ugly, I should say.
All right. Now delving into wild speculation, how do you think the NBA front office, the commissioner, how do you think they feel about it? Are they happy that Glenn wants to hold on to it because he's been stable, or would they like to see this deal go through?
So the NBA to this point has sort of been neutral in this. They view this, as what I'm told, as an issue between the buyer and the seller. They want Glenn Taylor and Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez to resolve this issue one way or the other. They're kind of staying out of it. We will see if that changes over the long haul here and if they have to get involved one way or the other. I am certain that, you know, they're not excited about seeing this thing spill out publicly the way that it has, seeing owners kind of trading barbs back and forth. That's not a good look for anyone within the league. But as of right now, I do not think that they are trying to influence the outcome one way or the other. They just view it, this is your situation, you guys address it, and let's get this thing resolved and moving forward so we know what the next step is.
So Glenn has been, you know, whatever you think of individual decisions he's made over the years or his basketball decisions running the team, he has been the ultimate stable owner. He saved the team from moving. He wants to keep it here. He isn't asking for a new arena. Mark Lorry and Alex Rodriguez, we suspect, would eventually, if they took over, would want a new arena. But they've also kind of been aggressive movers and spenders. Do you think the franchise, if you're looking at it from the perspective of a Timberwolves fan, who's better to run the team for the sake of the franchise and the fan base right now?
It's really hard to answer that. I would say that what we know definitively right now that Glenn Taylor has the money to do this. He has the money to pay the luxury tax. He has the financial resources to keep this team together. Certainly he has good rapport with Tim Connelly, with Chris Finch. He has a stable leadership team in place underneath him to really get things going. And so one of the things that has brought up so much angst toward Glenn Taylor in the past has been, hey, you know, look at all of the dysfunction underneath him. Look at how all of the losses, the lack of success. And I, as I've said before, a lot of times, a lot of that struggle, a lot of that failure is due to the fact that he generally hired the wrong people in the wrong places. He hired David Kahn. He hired Tom Thibodeau as both coach and GM. He hired Gerson Rosas. That didn't work out. So like a lot of the leadership that he made poor choices on. And that led to all of the losing. Right now, he has one of the very best GMs in the league in Tim Connelly, albeit thanks in large part to Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lorry, who helped to broker that deal. And he has Chris Finch, who is a very well thought of head coach. And so now he seems to have more of a structure in place that is similar to the Lynx. He has Cheryl Reeve with the Lynx, one of the very best in the business. And that has been, and the Lynx have been a very competent and elite franchise for many years. And so the odds of him shepherding this team forward in a positive direction are really high because he has Tim Connelly and Chris Finch in place. So I feel confident in his ability to run this team should that be the case. But also, when you look at Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lurie's side of things, they are the ones that went out and recruited Tim Connelly. They have been very involved in decision-making to this point. They have brought some new energy and some new ideas. And so if they do have the money, if they really do have the considerable gargantuan wealth that it would take to pay the luxury tax to go forward with things, I think that they could do a good job as well. Again, because they have the infrastructure in place to kind of guide them along the way. But we just, you know, what we don't know, what we are taking for their word for, is that they do have that money. And the only way that it would go wrong for them would not be, in my mind, anything leadership wise, vision wise, character wise. It's more of just like financially, can they do it? They say that they can, but it's much more of, I think, a leap of faith with them than it is with Glenn Taylor financially. Glenn Taylor's maybe more of a leap of faith in terms of his leadership capabilities and going forward that way. So again, I'm sitting on the fence here on that, but those are the elements that you evaluate when you look at what is best for this organization going forward.
Before we get to the Twitter question and wrap the show up, anything else we should know? Anything else you want to mention before we get out?
Yeah, I think that, you know, there has been a lot of consternation that this is all happening as the Timberwolves are going for the number one seed in the Western Conference, as they're having the best season that they've had in 20 years, as they are really shaping up as a true contender in the Western Conference. And I think that there's worry among the fans that this is going to be a huge distraction, that this is going to derail their on-the-court efforts. And I really do believe that that is not going to be the case. When you talk to players just about the business side of the operation, very, very few of them pay attention to things at this high level. What's important to them is, who is my coach looking at me in the huddle? Who is the GM who is going to sign my contract and make that decision or not? Offer on what I'm offered. Like, those are the types of things that players are worried about. And so I really don't think that it's going to derail them. I think that they can compartmentalize this stuff, and I don't think they're going to be losing a whole lot of sleep over it. If they end up, cratering here down the stretch, or they lose in the first round of the playoffs, or, disappoint in some way, somehow, I think that's entirely going to be just on their talent, on their health, on all of those things, and really not much on, this ownership kerfuffle playing out in real time.
Great. All right. What's the Twitter question?
The Twitter question comes from WolvesFan139, Jacob. He says, John, this ownership situation is confusing. Do we know when things will be in order? During the summer, after next year, or could this really be a drawn-out process? From what I understand, I don't have a definitive timeline for how this is going to play out, but what I can say confidently is I do not think this is a short-term issue. I don't think this is going to be resolved in weeks or a month. I think that the arbitration process takes a long time to work through. You're going to have people that need to comb over documents, that need to, you're going to have lawyers that need to put together their cases. You're going to have all sorts of things that happen that really do mean that this is a multi-month issue. So could it be 6 months? Yeah. Could it be a year? It might be. It's not going to be 2 weeks. It's not going to be, before the playoffs begin. It's not going to be likely before the playoffs are over. So I would just say that if you're a fan expecting to have real answers on this real soon, I don't think you're going to get that unless one of the two sides dramatically changes their opinion. And it looks like both of these sides are really dug in, and they're not going to be budging for anything.
Good stuff, John. Thank you for making the time for a special edition of the podcast. For our listeners, we'll be back next week to talk more basketball. We wanted to get this out while the story was fresh. Enjoy the Nuggets game, everybody, including John, and we'll talk to you next week.